Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Peter, some breaking news. Breaking news, Peter.
I love breaking news.
There's a picture of Christina Stoffel. Blanderson Hooper brought it up.
Oh, wow. Stalked her, huh?
No, Blanderson Hooper just tweeted it out.
No, he stalked her. That's what I'm saying.
Well, it's not stalked. She's on the air.
It's trolling.
Oh, there she is. Hello.
Oh, yeah.
And this is current picture, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, I understand. Jeez Louise, Papa Cheese.
So imagine 04.
I get
Can
it.
Can I join?
Yeah, I get it.
All right, so this is a topic that is kind of a tiptoe talk.
No, listen,
topic,
just jump in. Show me
because
something.
We certainly don't want to lose our job. But Caitlin Clark, because she was drafted first, and now we see exactly what WNBA players make. A lot of people have come forward and go, WNBA players are the top of their game, and they should make the same thing as NBA players.
Oh, come on!
Now the White House even said this.
Well, that's silly.
You can also blame the people that negotiated the CBA for the WNBA, because NBA players, with their cap, they make 50% of the revenue that NBA teams bring in. 50%. You know what the percentage is for WNBA players? 10%.
Hmm.
They get 10%. So should they be getting more? Yes.
Yes.
But for anybody to say, just because you're at the top of the game, well, what if somebody's at the top of the games in tiddlywinks? Should they make the same as the top baseball players? You make what you bring in. And the WNBA does not have the same television revenues as the NBA.
I'm not going to throw tiddlywinks out there, but what I will relate it oranges, apples to apples. And that is, I don't think there is a better player at what they do in the four major sports than Connor McDavid is in hockey.
And what does he make?
Not anywhere near
like
LeBron
9 million,
James.
Right?
He makes probably about a little over $9 million a year. Now, it's a cap sport, but even if it wasn't a cap sport, he makes a lot of money in relation to the television contracts and everything that the NHL can bring in, but it doesn't bring in what baseball, football, and basketball bring in, so he doesn't make as much money as LeBron James does, or doesn't make as much money as Aaron Judge does, or doesn't make as much money as even Daniel Jones does. Because it's all relatable to how
what
much
you bring
your sport
in.
Brings in. So if the WNBA, with Caitlin Clark at the helm, starts to demand those kind of ticket prices and starts to demand those types of television and radio contracts, and they start selling jerseys and they start making tons of money, then 100% she should be making as much, if not more, than the NBA players. Now, but until that kind of revenue comes in, it's not even on the table. And it has nothing to do with being sexist. You know, it has everything to do with what does your sport generate.
Now, if you want a legitimate argument, actresses should make as much as actors in movies.
Yes.
Because the movies are bringing in big money. Why are they not getting paid the same as Leonardo DiCaprio? But the WNBA players should not be making what NBA players make, because they don't make the same money. They don't get the same television contract. What am I missing? I don't want to seem like I'm misogynistic. I'm certainly not. I have a daughter. I want her to do well. But you choose the business you go into, and then you can't very well expect to make the same amount of money as the men do in the NBA who make more money.
Can I try to...
Please, try.
Add a little here, too? Just I'm going to add a little bit of... sprinkle a little seasoning on it all. So you have every right to be upset about it, because when you hear the amount Caitlin Clark is going to get paid, her salary, it is upsetting to hear. You go, what? That's insane, because it puts a face on something it's a little more tangible for people, even though this has been an issue forever. And one of the problems we have with society is Everybody hears someone talk about a subject. Everyone feels the need to weigh in immediately, even if they just found out about it and they have no background or any idea what they're talking about. So that is frustrating. But sexism is at play here. It's just not the league. The sexism is that we as a society don't go out and support the league. So if you want to be upset that people aren't interested in the game, well, you have the right to be upset about that.
But do you think it's pure sexism that the WNBA is not as popular as the NBA?
Yes, of course. That's why women's sports not as popular. Yeah, I don't think people think they're good. I think women don't think they're as good. I think men don't. We've been trained to believe that a woman doesn't want it.
I mean, because I'm sure there are more women that go to NBA games than WNBA games.
Because they're also we all live in the same place. We're all part of the same world. I mean, this is since the dawn of time. We're fighting an uphill battle here, guys. So now all of a sudden, Caitlin Clark comes along. She garners the attention of the whole world. It's fascinating, and maybe she will be the person who changes it. But do you guys have close friends who pay money to go out and support the WNBA?
But then what would be behind the NHL being behind the NBA or Major League Baseball being behind the NFL? I mean, there's some things are more popular than others.
It's a different sport, though. People don't. Hockey's not an American game. It's not even the same sport.
But then the UFL is that garnering the television contract or even remotely close to the NFL? It's football.
Listen, if you want
to, there are guys trying to make it to the NFL.
But this is a pointless argument. You may not agree with me that's the reason. You may think the reason is people just don't enjoy the game. I don't believe that. I think people are trained.
But the game is different.
I hear that. So fine. Even if you believe it's not related to sexism, and I believe it does, there's no point in arguing that.
Listen, I'm not going to tell you that it doesn't have something to do with it.
But my point is,
there was a time where women was women's tennis and with Serena Williams is out there. I'm sure she was commanding as much money as there were probably some male tennis players, and there were probably times that the women did better ratings than the men. I'm sure that happened.
Well, I mean, they did get to
command more money.
They were getting the same prize money in the majors as the men. And you know what? They were drawing just bigger crowds. And whatever the reason
why the problem is, if you're going to bring up tennis, the problem is then, of course, Serena Williams, who was the dominant player, wasn't making as much money as in endorsements as the white players who were a fifth as good as she was.
End of her career.
But you remember the years I was talking about when she was not the person.
And I'm sure sexism had something to do with that. Maybe racism as well. But I'm saying is that...
That's not the reason they're not getting paid, though. The reason they're not getting paid is because the NBA, this is a loss for them. Most of these teams, I have to guess, the Liberty make money, right? Some of the Aces probably make money. Were the Fever making money?
I don't even know if the Liberty makes money. And also,
the Liberty sells a lot of tickets.
This is how somebody could change the game and the narrative. Front row tickets for the upcoming Indiana Fever season.
Right.
They are more expensive than the Indiana Pacers front row seats for the playoffs.
So then it could change because now the economics have
changed. Oh, I looked up the tickets. It's very expensive. Michael, I think if you wanted to go see Caitlin Clark in a front row seat in Indiana next year, you're talking about the resale value, I saw, Michael, about $2,000 a ticket.
Yeah.
Imagine what the prices were. I wish we could go back and look. To go to an Indiana Fever game front row last year. So maybe this will be the moment that it changes. But Jacob just said the NBA loses, all said and done, around $10 million a year to subsidize the WNBA. Don and I can disagree or agree on the reason people don't support it. But the bottom line is the reason Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and everybody else, and Sabrina Ionescu and everybody else are not making the money they should make, it's not because the NBA is sexist. It's because people don't go out, buy the jerseys, buy the tickets, watch the games. Michael, what was the TV deal? They were a throw-in on the TV deal.
Absolutely, it's a throw-in. That's why I'm just amazed that even the White House would chime in. They should make the same as the NBA. No, they shouldn't. They don't generate the same revenue as the NBA.
The way more glaring, if you want to get upset about the WNBA-NBA thing, the one that was way more glaring was the women's national team. That was the one where you might go, how could that be when this team was so dominant and the men's team stinks? But even that, it was the same thing. People don't turn on the TV to watch the women's national team the way they watch the men's national team. It's just how it is. Even though the men's team is garbage and the women's team was one of the great international sports teams of all time, and the women were making significantly less. To me, there's a more legitimate anger to be had there, because how could that be when they were so much better a team?
And you know what, though, Peter? If Ryan Rucco, when the WNBA season starts, is getting audiences to hear his voice of over 10 million, then they're going to have to get bigger TV.
Then it's going to have to change.
Right. And it could be, this could be the time.
But like I said, you saw women's tennis rise above because it was more entertaining. I don't think people are not watching the WNBA because it involves women. They just don't feel that the quality of basketball is worth watching. Now, that can obviously change with Caitlin Clark's going there and scoring 50 a game. We saw it happen on the college women's level. They were never getting right. They got better ratings than the men. They were more interesting than the men. And if that continues to happen, now it's asking a lot to compare it to the NBA, because the one thing that we're not talking about that puts the WNBA in a disadvantage is the league started in 1997. You're going up against established leagues that have been around 100 years, so you're still an upstart. So you don't have the fan bases. You don't have the tradition. There's a lot that goes into it. It's moments like Caitlin Clark joining the WNBA that can be a part of its history and how it grows. So it would be unfair to look at any league that started in 1997 and compare it to sports that started at the turn of the century.
Absolutely.
Well, the NBA began in 1947, so they got a head start.
Yeah, they got a 54-year head start. You don't think that's going to be an advantage?
It's relevant. That is very relevant.
You know, so there's a lot of things to come into play, but over the history, whether it was how the NBA grew when Larry Bird and Magic Johnson came in, or how the NHL grew after Wayne Gretzky came in, or when Wayne Gretzky got traded to LA, or when Jackie Robinson joined Major League Baseball, maybe Caitlin Clark joining the WNBA will be that step in history that 50 years from now we'll look back and go, boy, look where the WNBA is. That's the turning point. That's the moment.
And remember one thing. What Caitlin Clark is going to be paid this year is ridiculous. It's $74,000. But she just signed a $20 million shoe deal with Nike. She's going to be fine.
Oh, yeah. No one's worried about her.
But just because Caitlin Clark's going to get her bag, all the other young ladies aren't either.
But that's the thing.
Right.
Much more of that league is filled with people who don't have other opportunities and have to play year-round.
This is what happened. If you remember... You know, Peter doesn't remember, Michael, you probably weren't interested. When Bobby Hull went to the WHA, he made $2 million to join the Winnipeg Jets. He asked for $2 million because he figured they'd say no. And they actually said yes. The rest of the teams subsidized the salary for Bobby because they knew it would help the league if he joined it. You know, you think that maybe the WNBA, some of the teams should be kicking in to help her salary if she didn't want to come here, like to help, because that would grow everybody, right?
There are ways around this, because that's what they're doing in soccer with Messi. I mean, he got a piece of the Apple deal, the whole deal. So, I mean, there's ways to circumvent caps and stuff like that to bring in a singular force that's going to change the way people look at women's sports. If WNBA games... with Caitlin Clark at 10 million viewers, it's going to be a different story. Right now, they cannot make the same as as the NBA, simply because they don't generate the revenue of the NBA. And what Peter's saying, why that is, that's for anybody to say.
And let me be clear. I just want to say one of the things. I saw people, pun intended, getting their panties in a bunch when I use the word sexism. It freaks people out. I'm not trying to say that every time one of us consciously makes a decision to not watch a WNBA game, it's because we're sexist. Calm down. What I'm simply suggesting is we live in the society that we live in which women's sports started out so behind the eight ball. We literally grew up in a time, guys, where the phrase, come on, are any of us going to sit here and lie? The phrase was literally throw like a girl. You cannot remove thousands of years of programming in 5 minutes. So when people get upset when I say that word, they make it sound like I'm calling them a sexist if they don't feel like watching a Liberty game. That's not what I'm saying. Yes, the game is different, Don. I understand that. The players play a different game. They don't dunk as much, not as fast, whatever it may be. But what I'm saying is to pretend as if a factor in all of this isn't the fact that we haven't respected women's athletes throughout history.
No, it's a factor, but there's other examples. Like you just brought up Messi. Messi to the MLS. We know how popular soccer is in this world and how popular it is in this country. If Liverpool ever came to the friendly or a Manchester United came here. But why is MLS so far behind? Because there people look at it and go, that's not the soccer that I love. That's not as good as European
the real
soccer.
Thing.
And there's men playing in that, and they've gained traction and they've grown, but they're not as big as soccer is. It's still not close to the other four major sports.
No, and MLS isn't close to what any of the leagues are.
So I look at the WNBA and the same. They kind of came in at the same time. You're trying to make a name yourself when you've already got four sports already established. And there are other people, in this case men in basketball or men in soccer, that play it at a higher level that I'm just more interested in watching. So fair. that's probably, to me, that's a bigger reason than sexist. But I'm not arguing that I'm sure
it's
that
just built in
the DNA of you're going to discard that because a woman's playing.
Totally, totally fair. That's a completely, I'm not going to stand on principle. It's completely true. So I'm just saying it's all in there as a factor. The interesting thing will be, though, is to see how much trickle down there is from Caitlin Clark, and do people then start appreciating other players? Now, the timing is interesting. Remember, it's not just Caitlin Clark. It's not just Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese with their sort of rivalry that started a year ago. Michael, I said earlier in the week, and I stand by this, I like them ending up in Indiana and Chicago, right? I think that could be a cool piece for them. But remember, the whole Sabrina versus Steph thing in the All-Star Weekend this past, there has been something going on momentum-wise with women's basketball where maybe we're hitting critical mass and they're going to have their growth period. When I was growing up, women's boxing was, I'm not saying it was silly, but like Layla Ali, for example, was a big star because obviously it was Muhammad Ali's daughter. She wasn't doing things on the level that now you're seeing from Katie Taylor and Amanda Serrano. It's a completely different operation. No one would have thought Ronda Rousey and Holly Holm and all these other stars were going to come in women's fighting where people would pay money to see women fight. So at some point, you can reach critical mass because of a star, in the case of MMA, Ronda Rousey, and maybe in the case of women's basketball because of Caitlin Clark.
It's fascinating. It just bothers me when people that are not educated on the finances of the sports just like blurt stuff out that they should be making the same as LeBron. No. And that has nothing to do with sexism or misogyny or anything. They shouldn't be, and they will if they start generating the same revenue. That's how the world works. That's how the world works. Or somebody tweeted and said, I'm sorry, Julia Roberts, Meryl Streep, whatever, yeah, the greatest actresses, they don't get the same money because they don't pull in the same box office as The Rock and Leonardo DiCaprio. Well, if Meryl Streep's in the same movie as Leonardo DiCaprio, who do you know is pulling in the box office? Why shouldn't they make the same? But here, you know, the WNBA is not generating the same revenue, not even close, than the NBA. They're just not.
Well, and again, that's where...
And also, blame the people on negotiating the CBA, Peter, to get 10% of the revenue. That, shame on them.
Well, but I'm sure that Taylor Swift is raking in more money than a lot of male artists.
All.
Probably
absolutely.
All of them.
All. There's no one doing better than Taylor Swift. But I would push back to the person who tried to make that Hollywood argument with you, Michael, right back to the point I was making about sexism that's built in. Why isn't there a female Rock? There's never been a female Rock. Is it because there's never been a strong, attractive, good acting, heroic woman? No, they don't make movies for women like that very often. You get Gal Gadot and Wonder Woman once every 15, 20 years. So all of those things, it's still a factor.
Let's go to Jimmy in Massapequa. Jimmy.
Hey, gentlemen. How you doing? Michael, huge fan. Love you. I want to agree with you 100%. I don't agree that it's sexism because I just think it's lesser of a product. You don't see women dunking and posterizing dudes. And like, also when it comes to, you know, children growing up watching sports, little girls, a lot of them are in dance. A lot of them are in cheerleading. How many little girls are playing basketball? Little boys that we're going to watch the boy sports. That's really just, you know, where I stand on it.
I hear you.
And I completely agree with you.
I hear you.
You know what?
I don't know about the lesser
little
product
girls
part,
are
though.
Starting to play basketball because of people like Angel Reese and because of Caitlin Clark. That it's a slow roll. It really is. I watched some women's basketball. I didn't love the product like 5 years ago. I told these guys, I said on the air.
We all did.
The college games that we saw that drew 20 million viewers are closer to the old NBA with passing, seeing the floor.
Right.
I enjoyed it tremendously. So I will watch the WNBA now.
But you know what's going to help? Like the caller sounded old school about posterizing and dunks. Is that really what the WNBA is about now? Or is a guy taking logo threes? Well, guess what? Caitlin can do that.
Yeah, that's a great point.
You know, so maybe the game is kind of trending towards, hey, they can do it too. Because all they're doing is raining threes. Well, Caitlin and a lot of other these women can do the same thing. So the whole idea of the big center, the shot blocks, the Dikembe Mutombos, the, you know, the big huge dunks, is that really what's selling the NBA right now? Or is it Steph Curry or Dame Lillard hitting a three from half court?
Let's go to Matthew in Brooklyn. Matthew.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm okay. I just want to touch on one thing from the last caller. I kind of agree with him. The product of the WNBA will never be the same because of the fact that the men can play above the rim. Now, number two, about the Knicks. When you were saying Sixers. Vegas disrespects them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that they disrespect them. You got to understand something. In the NBA, it's the best players, the top of the upper echelon, those are the teams that make finals and win championships.
So, Matthew, you don't think Brunson's that guy?
No, he's not. He's not. Come on. He's 6'2". How can he control the
Allen Iverson. Allen Iverson was short of that. He was a superstar. Steph Curry's short of that.
Nothing. You never. Steph Curry's team.
Well, maybe Jalen Brunson, by the way, Matthew, all due respect, last 15 games of the year, it was averaging like 38 points a game. And we keep saying they need a superstar. They've got a superstar. They need another superstar. You can't say Jalen Brunson's not a superstar. He is.
They have found, he wasn't the one you thought you were getting, but you got one.
Right. He's not your typical father's superstar, you know, guy who could jump out of the gym. But you give me 38 points a game down the stretch when the Knicks are trying to get the second seed, you're a superstar. You're a superstar. Embiid's a superstar. He's a different sort of superstar. Antetokounmpo, a different sort of superstar. Terry Francona's a superstar. He's going to join us in just a moment. Can't wait for that. Spring in the gear at Bay Ridge Honda, your go-to Honda dealer serving the five boroughs of New York. Drive home one of over 280 new Hondas, plus make no payments for 90 days. Bay Ridge Plus benefits come with every new vehicle. And get an extra $1,500 for your trade-in. Shop now in Brooklyn and online at BayRidgeHonda.com. No payments for 90 days with approved credit for well-qualified buyers only. Bay Ridge Plus provided by EFG Companies. See dealer for details and 43024. Hey, I talk for a living, and whether I'm in the studio or at the ballpark, I'm sure to have a cup of Bigelow tea by my side. There's nothing like fueling my voice, body, and soul with only the finest tea. Bigelow Earl Grey. This delightful blend of black tea and real bergamot oil, not your ordinary tea. It's a broadcaster's dream come true. Keeps me energized and focused throughout the broadcast, ensuring that I deliver nothing but the best for my loyal listeners. So join the millions of fans that make Bigelow tea number one in New York. Bigelow tea, the official hot tea of the New York Yankees.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get to our guest. Third annual Invited Celebrity Classic is a nationally televised PGA Tour Champions competition that features 78 PGA Tour champions and 40 sports and entertainment stars from tomorrow through the 21st at Las Colinas Country Club in Irving, Texas. Live on Golf Channel. All 3 days, PGA Tour champion professionals will play 54 holes of stroke play for a purse of $2 million with the celebrities in a $500,000 competition. One of those celebrities joins us right now. We love this guy. I love this guy. Former manager of the Guardians. That's Terry Francona. He joins us now. Terry, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How you doing today?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
We're doing great. Are you a good golfer?
No, I'm... I think I have a good personality, and I hope people don't mind being around me. But no, and especially the older I get, no, I'm not really, I'm not as good as I want to be.
Do you enjoy it, though? Do you like playing?
I love it. I absolutely love it. And like today, we played a round today with Billy Andrade and the guys, you know, some of the guys that paid to play, and it was a ball. And I hit one good shot every once in a while.
That's all you need.
Brings me back.
Yeah.
You're not kidding. You hit one and you think, okay, I got it.
Yep.
And then reality sets in.
Now, you're playing in a golf tournament when you usually would be managing a baseball game. You've been doing this your whole life, player and then manager. Are you missing it at all, Terry?
You know, Michael, it's so, I think, what are they, 15, 16 games into the season, so it's not very long yet. I don't know what I'm going to miss. And you know, I'm sure after doing it for, you know, that many years, I'm going to miss something. And my first thing is, you know, the people. I mean, the coaches and the people that you're around every day. And I think that's natural. But I thought this through pretty good. You know, I kind of had a little tug of war with myself last year about, you know, how I was feeling. And then once I made the decision and told my bosses, I felt really good. I felt like a weight had been lifted off me. So I'm not afraid of, like, you know, like what I don't know, you know, of the future. I'm just kind of looking forward to it, and we'll take it as it comes. And, you know, depending on how much or what I miss, you know, then I'll try to figure it out from there.
How much did the game evolve from the time you started till you finished that made you feel that you had to, like, change with it? Was it difficult to make those adjustments?
Oh, boy, it certainly did change. I mean, you know, I remember, you know, back in 97 in Philadelphia, you know, you had a general manager, an assistant general manager, and really that was it. You know, now, you know, baseball operations, there are so many people, and there's so many people that, you know, you're not answering to, but, you know, having communications with. It's become really, you know, it's a lot. I was fortunate in Cleveland where, you know, for 11 years we were really progressive thinking, but they never forgot that people played the game, and they let me be the manager, which I really appreciated, because I don't know if that's necessarily the case everywhere, and I really did appreciate that.
Because of your stature, two world championships, you could push back a little bit, but do you look at other managers that don't have that legacy, that can't push back, and do you wonder if you got back in the game and you fell into one of those situations where, you know, here's a lineup that we suggest, how would you handle that?
Well, I wouldn't. And it's not to say that's a bad thing. It's, you know, the game is, like you say, it's a game's evolving. And I think our guys actually liked when I pushed back as long as there's a reason to push back. You know, I don't want to just be the old guy complaining, because, you know, sometimes, you know, if you're not willing to change, you know, the game could pass you by. But I don't think I would be comfortable being in a situation like that. It just wouldn't work. I love when somebody has the ability to make me think about something, you know, whether it's outside the box. I love that. But I also know that to be the manager and to do it correctly, you got to make the lineup that you think works and things like that.
You know, I was always dying to ask you, Terry, your managerial career started in Philadelphia, so you had some battles with the Mets, and then, of course, with the Red Sox and the Yankees, and tons of series with the Yankees when you were in Cleveland. What is your impression of the city? Like, when you have that much of a rivalry with a town, now that you look back at it, how do you feel about New York?
I actually loved it. It was funny because, you know, when I'd walk around New York, the fans, that the people that did recognize me, they were awesome. Like, they would come up and say, "Hey, man, we hate you, but we respect how you guys played." And I always loved that. And, you know, when you play in New York, you kind of feel like you're the only game in town. Like, you know, you show up and the lights are a little brighter and the games don't count more. But I think they're more fun, especially for the players. And I always looked forward to that because it's like it's the biggest stage in the country. And the games were fun. And the Yankees always had good teams. So you're playing against really good players.
So one of the reasons that, you know, one of the main reasons I would think that you got out last year is you weren't feeling great. Are you feeling better? And I'll put this out there. If you start to feel just tremendous like Iron Man, will you manage again?
Michael, I think my days of feeling like Iron Man are well past me. But you make a good point. I mean, I think the grind had kind of grinded me down, and I wasn't feeling good. I was having so many surgeries. In fact, after last year, you know, I had my shoulder replaced. I had a couple hernias fixed. So I'm you know, I think I'm trending in the right direction. It's a lot easier for me to be healthy without the grind of a season. It just was wearing me down. And you know, truth be told, I don't know how I'm going to feel next year. I don't think anybody does. But I set out to retire, and that was kind of my, you know, that's how I feel. And I doubt if I would go back to managing. It would surprise me.
All right, now that you're not managing, is there a manager that you managed against that you enjoyed the give and take, that you, when the game started, you looked across the field and go, "I'm in for a good one here"?
Well, there's certainly more than one. I mean, you know, Jim Leland is, to me, he's kind of the gold standard. You know, he's a little older than me when I was younger. You know, like playing in AAA, you'd see Jim was with the Tigers at the time, and just you could see he had, you know, the it factor written all over him. And to this day, I still feel that way. You know, managed against Joe Torre was a treat. I mean, you know, people didn't want to hear that when you have the Yankees and Red Sox, but Joe and I would always sneak down behind, you know, the clubhouse there and say a quick hello, because people didn't want to see you hugging out on the field. But I always respected him so much. So those are two guys that kind of jump out.
Do you think about the Hall of Fame? Because obviously you're going to make it, but do you think about it?
Never. I know I was a baseball lifer, and I know how fortunate I was. And, you know, a lot of guys don't get a second chance. And, you know, after my 4 years in Philly, didn't go very well. And I was fortunate enough to not only get a second chance, but get a chance where a team was ready to win, because that doesn't happen very often either. So I know down deep how fortunate I was.
Terry, as a guy that played and managed in both leagues, are you sad or have any emotion to seeing how the game has changed now where the leagues aren't different anymore?
No, I really don't. You know what? I really don't. I think, and even if I did, if it's good for the fans, like there's some things that happen in the game that sometimes I'm not particularly thrilled about. But if it's good for the fans, I think we need to suck it up and do it and not complain. And I think this is one thing that the fans have kind of taken to. And so to grow the game, I think we got to do it, whether you like it or not.
I'm wondering, I never asked you this in all the years we've spoken. When you managed Michael Jordan in the minors, did you ever discipline him or get in his face and say, no, that's not the way you do it?
I don't think I ever got in his face. I haven't gotten in too many guys' faces, and I'd have had to get a stepladder. But you were able to – Michael was so coachable, and it shouldn't be surprising because I don't think you can – accomplish everything he did in another sport and not be intelligent and coachable and things like that. I mean, you tell him something once and it got done. And I don't think you have to get in guys' faces that are like that.
If he had stayed with it, could he have played in the big leagues?
You know, I tell people this all the time, and I don't think they believe me. I think if you gave him another 1,000 at-bats, because that's basically two more full years, mm-hmm. I think he'd have found his way to the major leagues. I honestly believe that. You know, one, he could fly. Two, I found out quickly, if you ever told Michael the answer is no, he's going to find a way to make the answer be yes. And he just has that factor that, you know, his competitiveness is so off the charts that I think he'd have found a way.
All right, now when you get up in the morning, Terry, obviously you're going to get ready for golf tomorrow, but when you get up in the morning, do you look at the Guardians right away or do you look at all of Major League Baseball?
I look at all. I love, that's one of my fun, ever since I've been, you know, I grew up, you know, looking at box scores in the paper. Now you don't necessarily have the paper anymore, but I love looking at, you know, like, you know, not just the scores, but I'll pull up the box scores because I just love looking at them. And I certainly look at the Guardians, but then I look at all the other games too. You know, I look at Tampa because I want to see how Cashy's doing. You know, I look at Kansas City because I want to see how Matt Cotero's doing. You know, the people that you've been around, and because I was with so many damn teams, you kind of get to know everybody. But I just, it's relaxing. You know, if I'm eating breakfast, I love looking at the box scores.
Well, you sound great. I hope you feel as good as you sound, and good luck in the golf as the days move forward, and we thank you for coming on. I always love talking to you.
Oh, Michael, it was so nice to talk to you, and I need every bit of luck you have tomorrow, because when that slice comes out, man, it can get awfully nasty out here.
Listen, just turn a little further to the left. You'll be fine. It'll slice
there.
Right,
Peter,
back.
Peter, you completely solved it for Terry.
Guys, if I turn any further, I'll be out of bounds.
Well, enjoy it at least.
Hey, it was great to catch up with you guys.
All right. Take care, Terry. That's Terry Francona. He might not think about the Hall of Fame, but he's going to the Hall of Fame for sure. All right, we'll take some more phone calls, 1-800-919-3776. But first, Don has a message to tell you about Mazda.
Get more in a new Mazda from Ramsey Mazda. Selection, over 750 new vehicles available, and more savings on their entire lineup. Like the new 2024 Mazda CX-30. 2.5S all-wheel drive lease for just $199 a month at Ramsey Mazda, Route 17 North in Ramsey. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda. Call 888-885-2891 for lease details. Excludes tax, title, and registration. Zero security deposit. VIN RM667991. MSRP $26,445. Ends 4/30/24.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Easily the most anticipated sporting event of the year. It's the pickleball showdown between Team DiPietro and Rothenberg and Team Anita Marks and Amani Toomer. It's Sunday. It's May 5th at Pickleball America in Stamford, Connecticut. Pre-game coverage kicks off on ESPN New York at 9 a.m. with a live broadcast hosted by Anita Marks as she sets the stage. Then shortly after the show, the paddles come out for the Pickleball Showdown for the Ages. Be there on May 5th to witness this showcase event at Pickleball America in Stamford, Connecticut. Who do you think wins that?
You got to go with the... All right, you got two professional athletes.
Well, three. Well, Anita used to play professional football.
No, that is true. You're right. But I kind of look at it as you've got a former NHLer, former NFLer, and two talk show hosts, in which one of them is clearly more athletic than the other. Anita is way more athletic than Dave. So if you say Imani and Rick are awash, then the advantage has to go to Anita, so I would think Anita and Monty. Now, I don't know how they play pickleball. From listening to the morning show, it sounds like that Rick and Dave play. And I think Anita plays. I don't know how much Imani plays, so I don't know their quality of pickleball. But from athleticism, I have to give the edge to Anita and Imani.
Now, the interesting thing is Rothenberg talks up the fact that he was a good tennis player.
Right.
And I would say that some of those skills are transferable to pickleball.
Were you listening this morning? Because you're back in town.
I was not.
Dude, he was telling a story. He told this story voluntarily. That he went to Stanford to play last night. He had a pickleball game.
Okay.
With a guy that was chubby. And he was a little deliberate at moving around or whatever.
Okay.
And I guess at some point, Dave said, "Move, you fat."
No.
How do you tell? All right, he did that. How do you admit it? How do you tell people that that's what you did? It's not a good story. That doesn't paint you in a good light.
He said that?
Am I wrong? Did anybody else hear it? I heard him say it.
Well, yeah, he's a little odd. Also, he's not exactly Kate Moss. You know?
I knew the next thing. I didn't know if it was going to be Kate Moss
or Twiggy.
But you just don't refer to people like that.
Wow, you've got a really big head. I mean, I wouldn't do it.
But even if you didn't have a big head,
would you show off about saying it on the air?
You just wouldn't say it to somebody. But the one thing Dave did say that makes it very difficult to prognosticate this is that apparently you can't judge a book by its cover, because it turned out that this guy that he played was good. And then he played a woman that he said was in her 60s, and she was terrific. So maybe it isn't just about athleticism. Maybe the fact that he's got a little tennis in him makes him better than Anita. But if I'm going to bet, I'm going to go with the athlete.
You're a fraud.
I think they've got more athlete on the Anita Imani side.
It should be unbelievable. It should be very, very strong.
I am looking forward to it. I have to admit that. But he's an animal.
Hey, you're a loser.
Let's go to Danny in Long Island. Danny,
you listen in the morning. Did I get that story right?
Well, Thursday's my 16-hour day, and yes, the player he was playing doubles with was not getting to the net quick enough, and he said, "Do you mind moving your fat bleep up to the net?"
Oh, my God.
That's not right.
Now, I am in the pickleball cult, which means we have to talk about it all day long. We discuss pickleball. We play pickleball. It's all about pickleball 24/7. So I can tell you that the court is about half the size of a tennis court, and athleticism is the least of the skill required, because remember, it was made for geriatric people that are on their last leg. And now I go there and I'm playing against a 30-year-old man the other day. I said, "Hey, dude, don't you have like a happy hour to be at? I'm 60 years old. You're spiking the ball off my forehead. Give me a break." So anyway, for a radio bit, I'm looking forward to Dave coming in Monday after a loss. I'm not rooting against him, but to think of the radio possibilities if they get blown out and Dave throws his racket is just fantastic. Because Anita plays every day, all day. Imani's taking it more seriously. And Rothenberg is now, no pun intended, rounding into form. He's taking it a little more serious. But he's an animal. So he's likely to lose his mind and just, snap.
Well, that's so what we're rooting for.
It's going to be fantastic, but I'm not going. As far as this Caitlin Clark crisis, everybody's screaming and yelling. President's chimed in. We just started an NHL professional hockey team. There is a player in the NHL Female Hockey League that is the Caitlin Clark of hockey. nobody's complaining that she's not getting paid the same as Mario Lemieux because she has a mask on. No one's who she is. I watched the games. I enjoyed the basketball games because what we had was personalities and people we were rooting for. Coaches were flamboyant. The players were flamboyant. The problem, I believe, with any new sport is that we're locked into what we do. And, like, if you're a New York sports fan, you've got Islanders, Rangers, Knicks, Nets. There's not enough time in the day for me now to – I will watch a game if it's nothing else on. But if I have the option, I'm watching when I'm comfortable because this is what I do. So it seems like when I look at the list of teams, all these teams exist in markets where there's already an NBA team. I like to see a team where – they don't have five other professional sports where, you know, if I'm in, I don't know what city it would be, like, you know, it's some place to go. We have college kids around. We don't have a professional team. What kind of attendance we're getting. But we had the NFL in the spring. It didn't work. We have the NFL now. This other league. It's not going to work. It's a circus, you know, little type of sports. It's fun to watch, but it's never going to hook up. And I feel that's the same way with basketball because I'll give you a hint. You know who likes to watch men sweat? Women. Go to a Ranger game. Go to a Ranger game and you will see the best-looking women you've ever seen in your life wearing a Ranger jersey, cursing profusely and banging their hands into the boards. That's just the reality of the situation that women like men's sports as well. You know, those pants, they fit kind of tight, those football players. My wife seems to notice that.
But this, oh, stop. Now, Danny, that's a bridge too far. Because here's the thing. Women are also part of society. So even if women prefer men's sports, it doesn't mean that it's not also because society has taught them that you only like men's sports. People act as if women should be better on the subject than men are. We're all part of the same society.
But we're literally talking about women's professional sports, of the four major sports, really existing over the last 25, 26 years. When the WNBA came in 97, I think the WUSA, the Women's Soccer League, but then it folded quickly.
And by the way, that's not a women's version of one of the big four sports.
The PWHL just started this season, and it's gaining some traction, and he's right. There's a lot of people that are interested in it. It doesn't have a national television contract, but it's being seen a lot of places. But really, you're going up against behemoths. You're going up against leagues that have existed for 100 years that are part of our DNA. He's right. I guess the Connecticut Sun didn't have an NBA team, but, you know, the Liberty started in New York, the Fever in Indiana, where there's a Pacer team. So you're being related to a team that's been around forever, that's ingrained in that community, and now you're starting from scratch. That's what it is. It's difficult.
I know, but Don, I agree, but we also, I just don't want to leave out the part that it. We can't pretend that women's sports hasn't always been treated down a peg. It has. It has. I'm sorry.
All right, we'll revisit this in the 5 o'clock hour. A lot of stuff to talk about. Joe Shane spoke today about whether or not the Giants have buyer's remorse when it comes to Daniel Jones. So all of that coming up. Hey, it's Michael Kay. I love when I get to talk about PC Richard & Son. They're local, family-owned, and they truly care about their customers. Right now at PC Richard & Son, save big on Samsung for your whole house. Samsung appliances up to 35% off. Select Samsung TVs and soundbars up to 35% off. Plus, get up to $1,000 in additional savings when you combine two or more qualifying Samsung products. It's the Samsung Whole House event, only at our friends at PC Richard & Son. Well, with over 350 new and certified pre-owned sedans, SUVs, and vans available for immediate delivery, Mercedes-Benz of White Plains has the right vehicle for you. Special lease and finance offers are available this month. American Express cardholders can take advantage of additional benefits. Start the shopping process online at mbwhiteplains.com or visit the showroom on Bank Street. Mercedes-Benz of White Plains, proud member of the Pepe Auto Group, the name you've trusted since 1968.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.